The U.S. Libertarian Party has been meeting in Indianapolis this week. Members are choosing their party's national leadership today in advance of this year's congressional elections and, of course, the 2004 presidential contest. But politics have changed since the last elections. According to polls, Americans are willing to accept constrained personal liberties in the face of terrorist threats. The libertarian belief in a non-interventionist foreign policy may seem impossible to a nation trying to pursue international terrorism. And scandals in Enron, WorldCom, and Arthur Andersen have all besmirched the free market. David Bowes is executive vice president of the Cato Institute. He's author of Libertarianism, a Primer, and says that libertarian ideals are as strong as ever.
All over the world, libertarianism is booming, from Russia to Africa to China, and in the United States as well. So I actually think overall the whole world is moving in the direction of the American free enterprise model, and I don't think WorldCom and Enron have changed that. For one thing, those are clearly exceptions to the American economic model. Several companies out of thousands of companies have been found to have engaged in malfeasance, which has been found out, and which there are going to be severe punishments for, and people are losing money because of them. That means there are feedback loops and there are consequences.
But when you say that these are two companies out of thousands, I mean, they're not mom-and-pop stores. I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars and millions of Americans.
Well, we're not talking. We're not talking millions of Americans. We're talking billions of dollars, but we're actually talking thousands of Americans. I mean, in some sense, millions of us through our mutual funds had an investment in Enron.
Yeah.
So, sure, there have been a couple of big failures, several big failures. Nevertheless, the American economy overall, I think, is strong. It grew at 6% in the last quarter, according to the latest figures.
Do you agree with that thumbnail assessment that people have been giving, that some of the traditional tenets of libertarianism have been given a shake by the world since September?
I think that it's a challenge right now for libertarians, for anybody who values freedom. But I think also what we learned on September 11th was that there's something very important that the U.S. government needs to do, and that is protect us from foreign threats. It didn't do a very good job of that. Mm-hmm. And if it focused more on that, we might have a better job there. I think non-intervention is still important. I think intervention is one of the things that leads people to want to do terrible things to the United States. But non-interventionism never meant that you don't go after people who attack you. Of course you do. You have to defend yourself and you have to respond to attacks.
Are libertarians concerned at all about increasing powers of the federal government to find people that might be suspected of criminal miscreants?
Absolutely. I think anybody who's concerned about civil liberties or limited government has to be concerned about it. However, there clearly are miscreants, and we've seen what terrible things they can do. But things like being able to hold American citizens without lawyers, without court trials, I think that's a terrible thing. The idea that the government might be able to snoop in everyone's computer, I think that's a bad idea. I think a lot of aspects of the Patriot Act went too far. But I think we do need to focus very seriously on what we really do need to do in order to respond to the real threats.
Mm-hmm. There are political observers who have credited the Libertarian Party with inserting an awful lot of ideas into the political mainstream. But at the same time, obviously, the Libertarian Party is not among the major parties in this country yet. What do you make of that? We've had a generation in which the Libertarian Party has been clear and articulate and had access to, obviously, having their ideas heard.
Election laws make it very difficult to start a third party in this country. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party, but I know people who are, and I know how hard it is. In the first place, they have to spend most of their money simply getting their candidates on the ballot, which the Republicans and Democrats don't. And then the federal election campaign laws make it very difficult to fund an outsider. I think generally libertarian ideas will percolate through the major parties if they're going to be implemented.
I wonder, is there something to the idea that libertarians are so individualistic it's difficult to get more than a few of them to agree on something, and that's not a good base for organizing a party?
Well, I really do think that Western civilization and certainly the United States overall reflect libertarian values. The founders managed to organize a pretty libertarian revolution and then a pretty libertarian government. So I don't think that's entirely true. But it's certainly true, I think, that libertarians, because of their individualism and their self-reliance, are less likely to be interested in becoming part of government. So by definition, the people who want to devote their lives to politics, devote their lives to running for office or helping people run for office, are less likely to be libertarian. And I think that probably is an institutional handicap. That is balanced by the fact that there is tremendous individualist and libertarian sentiment in the American public.
May I ask, Mr. Bowes, why you volunteered that you're not a member of the Libertarian Party. May we ask why?
Well, mostly because I do think it's very difficult for a third party to succeed in this country, and therefore I just don't see the results being very strong. The other thing is I work at a public policy institute, and I stay out of politics. So I think of myself as an independent. I don't work for candidates or get involved in campaigns. I just focus on ideas and policy.
David Bowes is executive vice president of the Cato Institute and joined us in our studios. Mr. Bowes, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.